This is the Dan and Christy podcast.
Dan and Christy.
The Big Mac is the original mouthful. A one-of-a-kind flavor that now comes in three sizes.
Have a listen to this story, because a couple accidentally got divorced after the solicitor clicked the wrong button. Oops, that's a bit of a work stuff-up. So 131060, talking about your work stuff-ups.
Biggest work stuff-ups. Mm-hmm. Dan and I have had them. Everyone stuffs up at work all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I remember my first little TV job, right? You have so much pressure to know your lines, because if you stuff up your lines and you have to re-keep doing the scene, that's a production pain for everyone to stay back. Like, the longer you take to get a scene nailed, the longer everyone has to be there. So
that's why Ocean Girl got cancelled, because you stuffed it up the very first time.
That was my favourite one. I loved Ocean's
Girl. And Treasure
Girls.
Island and Kirsty Sutherland on Home and Away.
Stop saying that. That's not my point. My point is, it's everyone makes mistakes at work. I don't care
what would happen all the time. Like, on set, you would have so much pressure and you can't remember the lines and you just go, well, we're going to have to go again.
I remember one day we had to film at what's called, it's a Palm Beach, right? So that's where Summer Bay is set, right? And obviously the weather is starting to get crap. We had one rehearsal, which is generally not done in TV. They at least let you have three or four before the cameras start rolling. But they just had no tolerance because it was starting to become rainy. And obviously if it's raining, you can't film your scene. So like, right, we're going to go now, Sam and Christy. Sam played Kane and, you know, whatever, cursing Kane. And they were like, I was like, what are you guys talking about? We've had one rehearsal. I can't remember my line. I can't even remember what I came here to do.
Like, so they just put it in the show. They're like, there we go. That's the storyline now. Like, what? Where are we?
What? Yeah, it made no sense. Enough. Anyway, so we're talking about work stuff ups on 131060. We've had some great ones so far.
Yeah, 131060. Luke from Bendigo, what happened at your work?
Well, I work at a local truck dealership. And I had a used truck that I purchased and had it parked up on the hill while I was doing a quick inspection of it. Hopped out to answer my phone, and shortly after jumping out of the truck, it rolled down the hill and smashed into four cars.
No way. Oh, my God. Was everyone okay? Like, the cars were just parked? Jeez.
Yeah. Wow. Luckily, there was no one hurt.
How'd the boss take it?
That is so lucky, because like, you would have been watching that, and just, I know that feeling, because I've done that with a trailer before. I just watched it fly into cars.
In slow motion.
I'm like, oh dear. Yeah.
First thing is, it was all captured on our CCTV.
Played at the Christmas parties, I imagine.
Bit of a giggle for a while.
So you're known as the truck boy from then on in, weren't you, Luke?
Yeah.
You said truck, right?
Oh, yeah.
Crash Bandicoot.
Zane from Albury, now what was your biggest work stuff up?
I have hit myself in the head with a hammer.
Oh, sorry, I'm not laughing. What happened? Are you okay?
Yeah, it was a while ago. I was fine. I was trying to fix a pallet board, and I had the pallet at about eye level, and I was hitting it with the hammer and it wouldn't go in, and I was hitting it that hard, I missed the pallet completely and swung back around and hit myself in the forehead with it.
Oh, Zane.
Isn't that what Homer Simpson does in an episode where he sledgehammers himself?
No, that was Zane from Albury. I'm pretty sure they call him Thor, don't they, Zane?
Yeah, I had that nickname for a couple of months after it.
Yeah, you're a little bit Thor, I reckon, after that injury. Thanks, mate.
Cheers, Zane. Renee from Bendigo, hon, what was your biggest work stuff up?
Okay, so I was working as a dental nurse. Yep. This is back in WA. And a chap rang up, didn't know his voice. I had picked up the phone. And he gave his name to make a booking, and his name was my brother's name, who's known for pranking, like, majorly.
Oh.
And I assumed it was my brother.
Yeah.
So I've sort of gone, oh, mate, I can't wait to get you in the chair. We're going to have out the biggest drill. You're not going to be able to do anything about it. Like, you won't be able to talk because we'll have a big gobstopper in your mouth.
Going to draw your brother.
I went on and on. Turns out it wasn't my brother, and I ended up having to be the dental nurse for the bloke that came in.
Oh, no! That's so the worst!
Did you explain what happened and say, look, I'm so sorry, I thought you were my brother?
I did. Luckily, he had a great sense of humour.
Yeah.
So I got, it was all okay. I didn't lose my job or anything, and he just thought it was hilarious. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, yeah.
I bet he turned up at 2:30 too.
But if anyone out there knows the panic of, you know, losing sight of your child in a public place, this is such great advice. So there's a thing going around at the moment, let's be honest, probably a technique that's been used for many, many, many years. It's called looking loudly method. And it's come back in the media, I suppose you could say, because it's now being broadcast on TikTok as something for parents to be reminded of. Because there was a mum, her name is Krista Piper. She's out and about with her little daughter, her three-year-old daughter called Lily. Mm-hmm. They're in an indoor play area and heaps of little hiding places. And you know what it's like when you take your kids to an indoor play area. They could be anywhere. You can never find them. And so the mum, Krista, she's talking to another mother, and then she loses sight of her three-year-old daughter very quickly, because we know it can happen in the blink of an eye, and she starts to panic. She's panicking. But then a light bulb moment goes off in her head where she starts to do the technique called looking loudly. And so she said, instead of just screaming out the name Lily, she said what she did was she stopped calling out her name and said, little girl, pink shirt, pink Minnie Mouse shirt, and started to describe her daughter and use descriptive words so that everyone could band together and they could find her girl, and she was dressed in bright colours.
Yeah, well, Krista gave this advice on TikTok.
Dress your child in bright colours. And if you're with a big group, like say you're going to the zoo or mall or Disney, try to dress your kids in bright colours similar to each other.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a parent, I can vouch and say that advice is not always viable. You do what you can with your kids. You can't always dress your kids in bright colours. It doesn't work like that. You dress them in whatever's clean, whatever's available, or if you have 2 seconds to get out the door. But the technique of remembering the looking loudly thing is something that I hope that we can all remember. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you even see it in films, you know, there's this panic moment of where's the kid gone, and I think if we can train ourselves to be as practical as possible, it just could be something that can help alleviate a lot of stress. Mm. Even in the film Taken, remember with Liam Neeson?
Yeah.
Remember when his teenage daughter's about to be taken, he says, look, they're going to take you, but don't just scream. Don't just scream. Use out descriptive words, you know, start to describe him. And that's what she does. And that's why Liam Neeson finds her and uses that infamous quote in the film Taken.
That's right. I have a particular set of skills. I will hunt you down and I will find you, your missing child.
So, look loudly by doing that. Be Liam Neeson. We're talking about toys. Have the kids found your toys? Because this happened. A lady found a Kmart dog paw cleaner in her son's room, and they don't have a dog. Oh, no. Extremely worried. It's a clear tube with blue bristles inside and probably likely being used by the young boy.
Yeah, of course.
As you know, a little assistance for his private parts.
Yeah, you know why? Like, we've got this to look forward to. Of course, you know, kids go from kids to being young adults, and it's just natural. And it's just going to be so awkward the day. And I really hope it doesn't happen that I find stuff in my son's room. I found as a kid stuff in my mother's room. My own son has found stuff in our room with hubby Justin and I. He found our toy and he's like, Mom, what is this? And like, how do you explain that to a kid? It's so hard. And you feel so guilty and you feel so embarrassed and you feel really giddy-ish. And the problem is my son is too smart for his own good. So when I told him that it was a massage freaking thing that gave mummy a back massage, he didn't believe me because he was like, you're not telling the truth. You're being sus. I said, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
I said, it's really good for my back. It feels really nice. He goes, so what's with the tentacles, Mum? And I'm trying to think of my...
Why do you have tentacles, first of all? And I'm not getting into that conversation.
Think about it.
131060. Johnny from Howrah, have the kids found the toys in house?
No, but my wife's found something in my daughter's room.
Oh, my God, did she really?
Yeah, she went in there to tidy up the room or something, and there on the bed under the pillow was, a special banana.
Oh, see, that's what happens. Hey, we think it's awkward when we parents have the kids find something, but we've got all this to look forward to of when we have to find the kids' toys.
Yeah, it works both ways.
Buzz and Woody. 131060. Now, Carol Lynn from Bendigo, have you found some naughty toys?
Well, my daughter did at a friend's place.
Oh.
I was visiting with a friend, and her and her daughter were playing in my friend's bedroom, and she came out with a toy and asked me what it was. And my friend and her husband just looked horrified. I just popped out. Oh, it's just a back massager, darling.
See? We said the same thing.
My friends were horrified.
But having said that, Carolyn, can I just say they are great if you have a sore back. They can be fantastic for a back massage. Put it up as high as you can.
I don't got for a massage.
Yeah, save your money. Use it yourself. Donna from Carlton, hon, have the kids found your toys?
Oh, my goodness. So My husband actually just called me to remind me of this moment that I had put way, way in the back of my brain. So we're in the dining room having a big family dinner, and my mum was there as well. My mum, bless her, she's 75, so quite innocent. And our five-year-old came out into the dining room with a set of handcuffs after being in our bedroom, declaring that she never knew that Daddy used to be a police officer.
Why are these fluffy, Daddy?
Did Daddy arrest you, Mummy?
Yeah, it was very awkward. And my mum, she just like, she's like, what are they for, Donna? And I'm like, oh my goodness, like, how many people do I have to explain this to?
I love your mum gets annoyed at you as a grown woman. You have to explain yourself. Donna, can I just say, handcuffs, hon? I've never, you've never had the toy of handcuffs. What's that like?
Make sure you know where the key is, and make sure they're just toy ones because, yeah, we've had some incidences where I'm like, help me.
Get the jaws of life.
Help me now.
Thank God Daddy's a cop.
It's Dan and Christy live on the radio, live on the listener app, and we all heard about this news. He was just on national news. He's a senator for the Greens, Nick McKim, joining us to talk about the Woolworths boss being threatened with jail for failing to answer Senate inquiry questions. We've got a few questions for you, Nick McKim. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, folks. Good morning.
Good morning. Just saw you on national TV looking fantastic, which is great to
thank
see.
You.
And very importantly, getting the message out and trying your damn hardest to get answers. I mean, what a great thing that you did, Senator, was just put people like the CEO of Woolies to the test and say, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, it got a bit spicy yesterday, fair to say. But look, it's about time in Australia that the big corporations were held to account. There's a lot of price gouging going on. There's millions of Australians struggling to make ends meet. And it's about time that the big corporates were taken on and held to account for some of their behaviour. The Greens are really up for that. And I was up for it yesterday, as folks would have seen.
Oh, yeah. We know our cost of living at the moment. Millions of Australians struggling to put food on the table. So it's time for these CEOs to face the music. And so what did you put to Brad Branducci, the Woolworths boss? Because there were simple questions that you were asking him too.
Yeah.
Well, look, they really were. And the question I was asking that he repeatedly, I think someone counted 39 times he refused to answer, was a simple measure of the profitability of Woolworths. And the issue about their profitability, which, by the way, they're making over $1 billion a year in profits, and Mr. Branducci pockets about $8 million a year in remuneration for his efforts, but all of that money comes out of the pockets of Australian shoppers. And when you get to the checkout and you're horrified at the small amount of food and groceries you've got in your trolley and the massive dollar amount you get charged, like, all that goes into the bottom line and ultimately the profit. So that's why it was an important question, and he didn't want to answer because it showed just how profitable Woolworths are.
Yeah, what is this, America? Was he like pleading the fifth and just refused to answer that basic and very, very fair question? And you're right, Senator McKim. We went to Woolies yesterday. $99 is what it costs for some chicken breast, some washing liquid, and a couple of packets of pasta and some cat food. Like, you just think, how does your CEO sleep at night?
Well, exactly. And when you put the cost of food and groceries, you've got, you know, power bills, you've got rents, you've got mortgages because interest rates are going up. I mean, millions of Australians are really, really doing it tough. And I think it's hard for people in Mr. Banducci's position. They're paid millions of dollars a year. They don't really have a lived experience of how tough so many people are doing it. And look, interestingly, the profits of Coles and Woolworths are somewhere around three times the profits of the banks in Australia, and the banks in Australia are some of the most profitable banks in the world. So these profits are obscene, and they're coming out of the pockets of ordinary Australians at the supermarket every day.
It's crazy because you have to answer for this price gouge. And I imagine farmers too are feeling the squeeze. Can they do better a job on these discounts, do you think?
Oh, look, I've got no doubt that we can put downward pressure on prices. And you mentioned farmers, and absolutely, we've heard a lot of evidence about the squeeze being put on farmers as well. And look, all of these problems stem from the market domination of Coles and Woolworths. They're basically a duopoly. They own about two-thirds of the supermarket sector between the two of them in Australia, and that market dominance gives them the power to do over farmers, to do over their workers who aren't getting paid enough and haven't got good enough conditions, and ultimately to price gouge shoppers, and that's what we want to see an end to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. And you're right. They don't have the lived experience with an $8 million personal profit a year of what it's like to be struggling. I mean, myself and my husband are a two-income family and, you know, we're lucky to have good salaries. We're doing okay. But even we are feeling the pinch. Yeah. I can't imagine what it's like for the single parent out there with three kids to feed and literally not knowing how it's going to happen. And I guess my question is, from a practical point of view, is there something we can do? Like, in a dream world, we could all just shop local, our local butcher, our local fruit and veg. And unfortunately, no, some towns don't have that option. There is only the local Woolies around the corner. Is there any advice for something that we could do to help contribute to the stopping of the price gouging or making these people stop what they're doing?
Well, people in my position have got a responsibility to try and stop the price gouging, as you say. So that could be laws to allow for the breakup of the duopoly. And unusually around the world, Australia doesn't have laws. They're called divestiture laws. Doesn't have those laws on the books. So that's one thing that the Greens certainly are very interested. We also need, I think, to make price gouging illegal. So there's things that we can do at a political level that aren't being done, and it's worth pointing out here, Coles and Woolworths are major political donors to both the Labor and Liberal parties, so you know, we don't take their dirty money, but many others do. Mm. But in terms of what people can do at their local, it's very easy to say shop around, but I mean, as you just pointed out, sometimes your only choice is between Coles and Woolies, and you end up in the arms of the duopoly anyway. So I really think it's time for action. It's time for the big corporations to be held to account, and it's time for all politicians and political parties to understand the pain that people are feeling and actually take action to put downward pressure on food and grocery prices.
Oh, good on you. Senator for the Greens, Nick McKim, fighting the good fight, putting them to the sword. It's an abuse of power, and they're time to face the music.
Exactly.
Yes. Thank you.
Let's go get them. Good on you. Thanks for joining us on Dan and Christy.
Thanks, folks. Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Christy.
Dan and Christy. Now, today is the 17th of April, which means that it's National Banana Day. Now, I have a banana here in my hand. Some bananas are bigger than others. Some are smaller than others.
That's quite large, isn't it?
This is not a
elongated,
bad-sized banana looks in my edible. Hand, but crack me up because Dan doesn't like bananas.
No.
You just don't eat them, right?
No, they're actually a berry too, by the way, but I just don't like the consistency of a banana. I know it's got a lot of potassium and a lot of antioxidants in it. It's good for you, but don't really like bananas. Don't like the taste. I like apples.
Yeah, you liked your apple. Was a banana ever put in your lunchbox or was it some bad banana bread? Do you like banana bread or banana cake?
Banana bread goes all right. Like, yeah, banana in other things goes okay. Like in Weet-Bix, I don't mind bananas. Like it's so strange. Like with honey, I don't mind banana.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't like a banana on its own. I don't know why.
They say not to make eye contact with someone when you're eating a banana, don't they?
Yeah, so stop doing that right now. But we thought we might count down the best banana songs of all time. I'm going to nominate this one, The Wiggles. That's a good one.
It's super cute. And I like this one because it encourages the kids to create good habits and stick to eating fruit. And apples and bananas are generally what's in the lunchbox because they're always available.
They are always available. One skin, two skin, three skin. Let's not say the last one. But there's also this one by Harry Belafonte. I love this song. The Banana Boat Song. Daylight come
and me one go.
He's talking about banana. Isn't it great?
Yes, there's a lot of songs.
From Beetlejuice too. Remember when they're all dancing around to this one? Yeah.
Remember Banana Boat? There we go. It's a good little trick.
6 foot, 7 foot, Justin, your husband. And then there's the all-time, I think this is the number one on the banana songs of all time. It's called Hollaback Girl, and it teaches us how to spell banana. Yeah.
Yes.
So let's go down some stairs and catch some teddy bears unawares today. Happy Banana Day. Time to do this.
Thanks to Telstra Satellite Home Internet.
Go ahead.
This is Fill the Space.
T-minus 10.
From space to your place, Telstra Satellite Home Internet has landed, bringing you streaming that streams and video calls with video to some of the most remote parts of Australia.
We have ignition.
Yeah, thanks to Telstra Satellite Home Internet, it's time to fill the space. 30 seconds, no annoying filler words such as ah, or long pauses. And if you get through the 30-second challenge, thanks to Telstra Satellite Home Internet, you got a major prize of $2,000 and it jackpots if it doesn't go off today. But we'll have three callers on, see if they can get through the 30 seconds and just talk about space.
Easy, you can do it. This is my favourite part of the show. I love when we give away money. $2,000 at the moment, that's a lot of money. Can mean a lot to someone, can even change their life.
That's right. And Deborah from Newtown. Deborah, good morning to you. What would you like to do with $2,000, do you reckon?
Straight to New Zealand to see my family.
Oh, beautiful, Deb. So when you say family, is that your parents or your kids? They're over in New Zealand?
My daughter, son-in-law, in-laws, and my little grandson.
Oh, that's so nice.
Precious, Deb. I bet they miss you heaps.
They really do. My little grandson talks about me every day. Says, I want Nana Debbie to come over and stay forever.
Oh, Deb. Oh, my God. No pressure, but please do well because you have to win this. You've got to get to see your grandson.
Spectacular, Ebru. We need a bucket and a hose brew.
You can do this, honey. So, you know, you cannot say or ah, and you can't have a long pause while you're trying to think of words, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Hopefully you're good with space, Deborah from Newtown, because your 30-second topic for today is constellations, and your time officially starts now.
Right. Constellations. Jupiter, Venus, Mars, orbit, Moon, NASA, Solar System, the Sun. Well, they're terrific, and we've all got star signs under them. And we couldn't be without them either, could we? I mean, you know, I'm a Virgo, and they're pretty much...
I think she went to the constellations then. I'm not actually sure what we do in this situation. I'll have to turn her off.
We've lost Deb. We've lost her. That sucks. She was doing so
Look, we'll
so
give her another
well.
Chance tomorrow on the show. So we'll take the next call because I think she got stuck in outer space. Brody from Shepparton. Brody, a very good morning to you, Brody. How are you going?
Good, yourself?
Yes, very good. Now, Deb failed just because her phone failed, but hopefully it doesn't happen for you, mate. Are you ready to fill the space? You know how it works? No ums, ahs, or long pauses?
And
yeah, you'll be fine. It's a 30-second subject, and it's constellations. So your time officially, Brody, starts now.
Constellation, well, I don't actually know what that means, but...
You don't know constellations?
Sorry, bro. I know it would be so hard to do it without the R part, looking for a word.
Yeah, it's for that word. It's just trying to understand it too.
All right.
Mate, sorry, but unfortunately, don't take the $2,000, but best of luck next time.
Thank you.
And we'll give another shot to Deb tomorrow because that was a little bit unfair because the phone did cut out.
Well, you know what this means, though? Tomorrow, it jackpots, so we've got $4,000 to give away.
To talk about constellations again, Aries, Scorpius, Cygnus.
I know, but just so you know, it won't be constellations.
No, it won't be. It's going to be a totally different topic, and it's all thanks to Telstra Satellite Home Internet. They're the best from space to your place. We'll fill the space again tomorrow on the show for $4,000. We'll catch you then. Bye, love it.
The Big Mac is the original mouthful that now comes in three sizes.
That was the Dan and Christie podcast.
Dan and Christie!